You suck, Chris.
Are you ready for some meatballs?
The Bears are 5-1. 5 wins, 1 loss. But still get no respect from the league. And you know what? To be honest, I'm not ready to give it to them either. At least to some of the level that some of the other, good teams look like. But come on. Okay, they're 5-1. And NFL.com, I believe it's NFL.com, their power rankings list had them not even in the top 10. Now, how are you first place, 5-1, maybe the best defense in the league, and you're not even considered top 10? I mean, that shows you how far skewed the league is to offense and offensive productivity. And don't get me wrong, I wish the Bears had more offensive productivity. So, welcome to Meatball Composer. Glad to have you here. And I'm going to bring Mark on, and we're going to discuss the Bears-Panthers game, as well as look ahead to the Bears and Rams on Monday night for Monday Night Football. Dun, 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 dun. So, let's do this. Let me get Mark on the line, and we'll talk Bears. Good afternoon, my friend.
Oh, dude.
You know, I was just trying to get ready for the show, and I got a message from Mark saying, let's roll. Sorry, man. Sorry. I'm trying to get a good show. I'm sorry.
I'm ready.
You're ready. Okay, you're ready.
It's good you're researching.
Yes, because I actually want to have something knowledgeable to talk about this time.
What? I thought that was my role.
Oh, well, that's what I mean. I want to join in. I want to have...
I'm just messing with you. Don't edit this. The listener will love it.
Oh, I'm not. Yeah, we're live, man. This is hot
yeah.
mic.
Heck yeah, hot mic. Oh, see, quick, let me say something offensive so you can fire me.
Well, you know, it just I'm tired of being the eye candy of the show. I wanted to contribute.
Well,
you know,
you're my podcast trophy wife. It's okay.
Yeah, thank you. Mm-hmm. All right, man. Hey, let's talk some football. Let's talk some Bears. Let's. We got a 5-1 first place team, man.
What? No, we don't. We're favored to lose by 6 points or something. No, I don't even know where to begin, honestly. Man, there's so much to talk about when we only do it like once a week, which is fine schedule-wise. Sometimes it happens, but I guess let's start with the Panthers game and then talk league-wide and the kind of perception of the Bears before closing it out with the Rams game.
Sounds good. There's lots of good stuff to talk about there. For sure. So yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. So Panthers. Bears beat the Panthers.
They probably should have blown them out.
Yes.
See, this is what I mean. I want to talk Panthers, and then I would go, yeah, they should have blown them out. And then I'm thinking, oh, well, they would have if the freaking pick six for Eddie Jackson, again, hadn't been called back. Then all of a sudden it's 30-16, and you're like, okay, cool. They whooped them, you know? So then I want to talk about the refs. It's like, no, wait, I got to talk Bears-Panthers. The defense was phenomenal. The Panthers actually have better weapons than people realize. Robbie Anderson's a really good receiver now that he's been freed from the purgatory that is the New York Jets. And Moore's always been good. So yes, that was a Moore, very good defensive effort.
Yeah. There were, I will mention something about the officials here. The second touchdown the Panthers scored was because of consecutive penalties on the Bears marching them down the field, and some of them
it was like 50 questionable yards of penalties.
Yeah, yeah. Now the offs. Let's see. Were there two offsides?
Two offsides. No, one offsides and two offside. 12 men on the field.
Two 12 men. Yeah,
the 12 men. I mean, that can't happen.
Yeah,
that's because you have a deep enough defense to be rotating players like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, before they get lost in the shuffle, shout out to some of these backup pass rushers who are kicking tail this year. Mingo is giving them something. Vodders is giving them something. Brett Urban's doing his thing and then playing guitar because he, you know, can't dance. And then above all, Mario Edwards should have 2 or 3 sacks. I think the penalties have negated a couple, and I think he has 1.5. these guys are doing very nice fill-in work, and that's allowing them to rest Mac and Quinn, and then they're better when they're out there.
Yeah.
It's like the anti-O line, right? The D-line has all these guys who are actual NFL professionals. So, yeah. Anyway, we'll have to get to that. But
yeah, okay, all right.
But let's start. Let's just start D, and then we'll meander into ref stuff, I'm sure, too. But sure. I just loved the game started out with the Bilal Nichols sack that was almost a safety.
Almost, yeah.
And then a pressure that was an interception. It's like, mm-hmm. This is good. And then a, you know, absolutely brutal, air quotes here, drive by the offense, but they managed to get six with the commit
touchdown,
and that was good to see. And that's another thing we should talk about at some point.
I believe they lost 2 yards and then scored the touchdown.
Yeah, I think that's how the possession. Drive
went. Oh my gosh!
This is a quintessential Bears team, whether we want to admit it or not. Even if we're supposed to have some offensive scheme that's great from the Chiefs and a good offensive mind calling plays, which I think is hilarious at the moment to even consider. Although probably the line being terrible is one of the reasons the whole thing looks bad. The first reason.
Yeah, that matters. But
this is a quintessential Bears team. Their defense is amazing. Their offense is hot trash. And we just hope the offense can scrape enough together or that the defense scores a couple times. We're just back where we've been all along.
My whole life, my friend.
Foles' numbers are actually worse than Trubisky's.
I know. That's the amazing thing.
And I'm not saying I'm not saying Mitch should start. I'm just saying that what we were hoping Foles would do has not happened either. That's how bad the offense is. And here we are. Let's start with the defense, and we can't help
but
be annoyed at the offense, it seems like.
Something I think that's important to say about that is, one, yes, the numbers are very scary similar between Foles and Mitch. But number two, that also shows you that you can't just rely on stats for the quarterback to determine the quality of the quarterback, because Foles – has made just a couple really, really, really good decisions a game that have made a tremendous difference in the outcome.
Well, you flat out lose the Atlanta game if they don't make that move, I think.
Sure seems like it.
For starters. Yep. But yeah, he makes good reads at the line of scrimmage. That's the one thing that still gives me some hope, that most dangerous of virtues, right? It'll break my heart. But he still gets up there and looks like he knows what he's doing when they get the play in on time and they even remotely block it.
Yeah.
But they still have issues at every level of the offense. I mean, the receivers all kind of stink some games. Robinson's still a good player overall, certainly, but he didn't have a great game. Miller is a disaster again. Like, why does he stink at the beginning of every season? I'm thoroughly expecting him to turn it on in the second half of the year like he did last year. First down that he removed, oh my gosh, he's dumber than a box of rocks, Chris.
Yeah, well, you know, you question his education, for one.
Yeah, he went to a terrible school. but the O-line is where it starts. And since we stumbled into the offense, I guess we'll circle back to D later. But the O-line is atrocious, and it makes it next to impossible to evaluate anything else.
Anything, yeah. True.
I mean, I hope a lot of our listeners have seen the picture by now of Foles on the interception, and it's like four Panthers are next to him, and the Bears linemen are all
behind the
far
Panthers.
Away.
Yes.
Coward might be further past the line of scrimmage, like positive yardage for no real reason that I can fathom. He's an absolute train wreck. I don't know. They might have done him wrong moving him from D line to O line, but he's never played the left side, right? And that's got to be a lot different, left versus right.
Yeah.
They got to start Bars if he's healthy, don't they? They got to sign somebody.
They got to do something, because what they have now is not working.
Horrible. And Leno is still bad. Massey's okay. Effetti's okay. Whitehair's okay. But when you're talking okay is the ceiling, and then half of the line is just terrible, man, it's hard to do anything. You can't run behind the left guys at all. They don't pass pro. I mean, what people want them to take shots deep. They can't block long enough to take a shot deep.
Yeah.
And every game I'm like losing my mind at how annoyingly horizontal the passing game is. And then it's like, oh, right, they can't throw it deep.
Well, yeah,
and then they can't run because they can't throw it deep, so there's no reason to play off the line much. It's just all feeds into the mess that we're watching.
I heard a caller on the radio this week complaining about Montgomery, saying someone like Walter Payton could run even if he didn't have a line. I'm like, let's not put that on David Montgomery, please.
I really don't think so. Like, Walter
you want your mouth,
but he
my
had
friend?
Some darn good linemen. Emmett Smith you know, career rushing leader, best line ever.
Yes.
If anything, the guy that you could say that with might be Barry Sanders, but I love Peyton. Don't get me wrong. He's like the greatest Bear ever and all, but I just don't think that's true. Running backs are made by their lines, not the other way around.
I didn't watch, obviously, I was born in the late 70s, so I didn't get to see those early years, but from what I've been told is that the Bears did not really have a good offensive line until the 80s.
Okay, well, Peyton is better than Montgomery, sure, but what I don't understand the guy's point. Go find Walter Payton again?
Yes, yeah, get the next Walter.
That would be wonderful. But this particular team's running back is fine.
He is.
He is like the only guy besides Robinson that you're like, not a problem on the offense.
Defenders are getting to Montgomery in the backfield almost as fast as the ball is getting to Montgomery.
It's like a miracle if there's a hole to run through. And sometimes you still get 7 yards out of like basically nothing.
Well, he is great at breaking first tackle.
I would just love to see him with an actual offensive line.
I'm sure he would too.
So I just, you know, I didn't want to start with the downside, but that's just how bad the line is. It can derail this whole season. They're that bad. They're a bottom two or three offensive line in the league. Ugh.
Who's and this?
The good news is there is already some talent available there.
Yeah. Who's this kid from Notre Dame that everyone wants the Bears to sign?
The guy the Bills cut?
Yeah. What's his name?
Quentin Spain.
Yeah.
He started for a number of years. He had a really good year in 2018 under Juan Castillo. And then they drafted like a guy in the second, I want to say, maybe third round. Anyway, Spain got nicked up. This guy played and he played well. And they were like, yeah, he's the starter. And then Spain's like, I want to start. And they're like, well, we'll release you. That's the story I've seen so far. There's no big bad story there. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, is there like Kareem Hunt hotel footage of something here? You know, like it just seemed weird because he was a productive starter for several years, and he's obviously they got to be all over this. They better be interested in him.
Gosh, you would hope so. Even
his experience is left guard.
Oh, that'd be nice.
So you would hope. But yeah, so the O-line played so bad that I can't even hardly evaluate the rest of the offense. Conversely, the D-line and secondary are so good.
Phenomenal.
That they're not there yet statistically, but in a lot of the categories. But you might be back to best defense in the league before the season's over if they keep it up.
I think so. They're already number one in touchdowns allowed and in third down.
They have more interceptions than they've given up passing touchdowns. Are they number one in third down now? I think they are.
I believe so, yeah.
And they're definitely number one in the red zone TDs.
Yep, that's right. They're not number one in points. They're in the top 10 in points allowed. I was surprised to know there were so many teams that had given up fewer points than the Bears had.
I think it's because they gave up a whole bunch to Detroit and then a decent amount to Atlanta. And I mean, the Bears are winning ugly, but the defense is doing its part. And again, if you put those Eddie Jackson TDs back on the board, which one was questionable, the Giants one, as a call, and the one against Carolina was just a totally egregiously terrible call.
Yep.
And then they win a couple of these games more comfortably. Is the narrative different about the Bears? Because this defense is actually playing better than the 2018 Bears. Yeah, I went there.
Whoa,
did you
see
Adam John's article on this?
I did not.
Well, he made a very compelling case. Now, here's the first thing we have to note. Remember in 2018, they were only 3-3. They had come off of week 6 after getting pantsed by Brock Osweiler, Frank Gore, and the Miami Dolphins. So they weren't playing that great a defense at the time. And so he, with a straight face, could make a pretty compelling case that through 6 games, they're actually better right now than they were in 18. So you're going to have to project them to continue to grow. So here you go. 2018 points per game after 6 weeks or whatever, 22. 2020 points per game, 19. Rush yards, their 18 is better, 87 versus 113 per game. So that's the biggest thing that this team has to clean up.
That's Net Eddie yard, Goldman's passing, absence.
Though,
most
get
likely.
This, and here's where I'll make the case. 263 for 2018, 224 for 2020. And here's where they're better. I will take Jalen Johnson and Tayshaun Gibson over Prince at 30 and Adrian Amos any day. through these first six games. The secondary is actually even better, and you might be able to make a case for Skrine over Callahan too.
Oh, I think so. It seems like
better than ever. So you see what I'm saying? Like the secondary is ridiculous. They might be the best secondary in the league.
I don't know who would be better. Yeah, Fuller is balling.
Some of these numbers are crazy for our defense right now, and I don't think they're getting the appreciation they deserve. Third down percentage, 38.5 for 2018, 32 basically for 2020.
Yeah.
Red zone percentage, 57, 36.
Whoa,
36 is crazy.
That's 20. Wow.
That's how good they're playing. And I think it's because they started with a bunch of bad teams, but actually only one bad offense, that it's given the impression that the defense isn't that good. But now they've shut down Brady, and the Bucs are in this now. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like you got to stop that narrative and start to shift it a little bit. They have four less sacks, but the passer rating was an 89 in 18 against and a 73 against right now. They're making every QB they play worse than Mitch Trubisky by a significant margin. But takeaways is the other big difference, 17 versus 8. But that 8 should be more like 11.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, like there's plenty of ammo for that like point. And you're like, wow. So like here's the crazy thing that we can't predict. But if they continue to improve to the degree or even close to the degree that 2018 did as the season went on, you'd be in that special conversation for sure. And Robert Quinn is getting home. He's just not getting the sacks.
Yes, he is.
He leads the league in average distance to QB on pass rush, which to me is the most important stat because he's consistently close. And it's just a matter of time before the impact is bigger.
Yeah, I will be very happy to be wrong about this defense that I said at the beginning of the year that it would be good, really good, but not great and definitely not.
Well, we were mostly worried about the aging factor, but a lot of these guys are still in their prime. So that like Fuller's better than ever. Mack looks healthy again.
So good.
Hicks is aging. No Goldman was a real deal, and that is why the rushing game is different.
Mm-hmm.
And Trevathan was awful for like a month, but he's been better the last two games.
Yeah, he's still not the Trevathan of old.
No, but he's not the train wreck he was. At least those two games. And Roquan was phenomenal versus the Panthers.
Oh, that one play where he not only threw the blocker off him, but
beautiful.
Still
that was all pro middle linebacker stuff right there. He's starting to get some hype,
Bears.
And I know he blew the tackles with the Ronald Jones spin moves, but getting to that hole that quick without a blocker on you, that's top level. He'll make those tackles probably – you know, 4 out of 5 times the rest of the way. He's playing some really good football. So he's probably better than the 2018 version when he was a rookie.
Yes.
You see what I mean? Like you can go through it, and other than no Goldman and Hicks being older, and I'll take Quinn over Leonard Floyd any day, even as he's still kind of getting acclimated. I mean, he made that interception at the end of the game happen with pressure.
Mm-hmm.
So this defense has the chance to be really, really special if they keep improving.
They might have an all-pro at every level.
They should. If Roquan gets
maybe more than one.
What he deserves, And if Hicks could ever get what he deserves, one of these years they're going to figure out that it's Aaron Donald and Hicks. Because the guy other than Aaron Donald, there's like four in the discussion any given year, and it never seems to go to Hicks. But one of these years it might. Mm-hmm. So the defense put forth a marvelous effort. Jalen Johnson's the weak link because he's a rookie, but he still has a ton of passes defense. He created another turnover. He got burned a couple times because he's a rookie. He got burned on the pass interference, which I thought was DJ Moore fooling him and the refs into grabbing his arm.
That's
the technique
that's what
they teach. It was a penalty, but it was pretty tic-tac. That brings me – can we just do the refs? Like, we just got to get the refs out of
there.
And can we do the broadcast? Because they both are just a mess.
Oh, no. Ugh. All right.
Okay, I showed you – I sent you, I think, there's – it's like on Twitter or Reddit or wherever. Reddit segment to come. Of the the pass interference on the pick six and the pass interference that was not called when they mugged Robinson on, like, the three.
Yep.
Side by side. And the one with Robinson is like way worse. I mean, he's even pulling his head. It's a totally egregious example of pass interference. I'm not saying it's as big a moment as Saints Rams a couple years ago, but it's that blatant. It involves the head. Just a totally awful no call. So to not get that call and then to have the pick six wiped out, there's been a lot of chatter on like Hogan Johns and a few of the radio shows on The Score and a few athletic like articles, I think one at least, about how the, or maybe it was a Hogue NBC Sports one, at any rate, where the refs don't seem to know how to officiate the Bears, especially the Bears defense. Kyle Fuller's hits are clean.
Yeah, and you know what? I want him to keep doing that.
He hit the ball one time, and he hit their shoulder one time, and they called a penalty on both.
Yep, but keep doing it, kid.
Yeah, because they got it right in the Tampa game. Just keep doing it. Force the league to recognize that it's legitimate. It's not dirty. It's elite cornerback play.
It is, and not just that, though, is that it plants a little message, a little seed in the receiver's head.
Yep.
You know, like, oh, you sure you want to catch this? Because,
and I have no idea if it
23 is coming.
If there was that big fourth down play, great call by the Panthers that he just barely missed more on. And I couldn't help wondering if when he was laying out, if he maybe catches that, if he hasn't taken a couple huge shots already. Who knows?
Maybe.
Very much speculation.
It matters.
But it can really, I think, you ask actual former players, they'll say that stuff adds up. And everybody knows it with the QBs. Just ask Tom Brady what down it is. They hit that up.
Or Aaron Rodgers last week. We'll get to that later, too, though.
Just absolutely atrocious officiating again. And I think I've said that in every game but the Bucs game. Which I'm always like, oh, I don't want to blame the refs. I'm not that guy. And now here every week we're like, holy cow, the refs are awful. What are they doing? Yeah. But
still, like, calling that on Robinson, like that, or not calling that on Robinson, that has nothing to do with the Bears defense, is it? Or does that just spill over to the whole Bears team of, wow, we just
I don't think it's that conspiratorial. I think with the defense, it's like they're just not used to seeing this kind of elite defense because the league's basically not got any of that. With Robinson, I just think it's sheer incompetence. Sure. I don't know. I'll tell you what, if that keeps happening, though, it's going to be pretty infuriating.
Well, the league definitely wants big plays and lots of points, and the Bears are not built that way. They're built to stop you from scoring and stopping you from putting up big yards. So that's kind of counter-narrative to the way the league wants to go. So I could see them struggle. I could see referees struggling with, oh, you know, we're supposed to, you know, let the boys play a little more, but
Fuller stuff especially has a – I think that's probably a penalty. I better throw that just in case. I don't want to be the guy that didn't notice he hit him in the head. So I think what needs to happen, I know nobody wants more replays in general, but they don't take that long anymore. That needs to be – those kind of personal fouls and turnover-changing penalties need to be reviewed every bit as badly as TDs get reviewed. Yeah. I mean, Eddie Jackson, scoring play. Why isn't that reviewed? What, because it was a defense that scored? That's the kind of stuff I can't stand.
It's a good point. And then they brought Mike Pereira into the game.
Oh, he's wrong at least half the time.
That was like a total company man call.
He's such a yes man.
That was gross. It was just filthy, nasty. Just
no, you can't trust the broadcast. They're too in with the league. You have to wait for the reaction from the guys on Twitter and the guys on YouTube who like really break it down to actually know whether it was as bad as you, the fan, who is, you know, admittedly emotional in the moment. But every time,
speak for yourself, man.
By Monday, Tuesday, everyone's like, oh, that's a terrible call. Oh, that's a perfect tackle. You know, like Baldinger and all these guys are like not in with the league or totally calling the league out for it.
Yeah.
And then can we mention the holding calls again real quick?
Yes.
Shout out to the Bears Reddit. Yeah. Here's a Reddit teaser.
Okay.
2015 through 19, through 6 weeks, offensive holding calls. So a four-year sample of how many they averaged each season through 6 weeks. 283 in the league.
Okay.
In 2020, 158. So we are down 125 holding penalties throughout the league.
Well, that's because they want more scoring. Yes. They want more offense.
And combined points per game is up 5 points.
Yep. That's why you're allowed to grab Khalil Mack around the neck.
But, I mean, there's like – it's not just, ooh, ragey Bears fan. No, it's not just conspiratorial nonsense. There's hard data that shows that the officials have clearly been instructed to favor offense. This isn't just some
– that's my point.
Angry fan thing. So it's frustrating.
That's a significant drop.
It is. The holding thing is downright shady. the Kyle Fuller stuff and the pass interference stuff, if they're that big of plays, I feel like they should be just auto-reviewed. I really do. I don't care if it takes my game, you know, two more minutes if they get it right. Why would the NFL not want us to be a rapt audience for longer? Aren't they trying to get our Tuesdays now too? Like, I don't know why they won't do it. I don't get it.
It's not like we're waiting to get to Murder, She Wrote at 7 Central.
Hey, speak for yourself. You know? I've got a hot date lined up with Angela Lansbury in Murder, She Wrote.
Oh, yeah. I loved that show.
I said that. Yeah, that would trigger something terrible from you. So, speaking of brutal, the broadcast was terrible too. Again. I got to get less Jonathan Vilma in my life, for starters.
He's making me miss, what's his name? The Jason Witten.
There you go. Never. Yeah, that was a play. That's Jason Witten. At least Vilma's trying to have a thought. Yeah. They're just not good thoughts. More to the point, though, I don't care that much about Vilma. I am still mad, all right? This is how much of a loser I am. On Thursday, I'm still mad that they never gave us the proper replay of the pick six where Bilal Nichols tips the ball. And they're like, nope, yes. Mac definitely didn't touch it. And I'm like, you Nimrods, I didn't think it was Mac. It's Nichols.
Yep.
They never went back to it. Unless my stream screwed up, because I'm that guy who steals the games. But that, like, he's the one who tipped it. You can see the trajectory at the end when they cut to commercial. Totally different.
It did.
100%, I believe he tipped it. And then we find out later Nagy's not allowed to challenge that. So our anger there was misplaced.
Oh, really?
I was grateful to hear in a way. But that's a brutal broadcast, not giving you that replay. And I guess, does that mean no one had that replay? Or are they just like hiding the incompetence? You know, it makes you wonder. I just hate that.
I know.
All right, league wide, we got to get going here.
Hey, one more thing about the Pereira and that whole thing. He said Fuller hit his shoulder to head. He's like, "Yep, there it is, shoulder to head." It was not shoulder to head. There was no angle that showed Fuller driving his shoulder into the receiver's head.
Nothing. If their heads hit after their shoulders hit, isn't that just basic physics? Isn't the whole point like what you lead with? I mean, of course, occasionally heads are going to hit things because your shoulders hit first. Two heads are going to bump lightly, but they're not taking the brunt of the impact. That's the whole point of the rule, but it's not how it's being called. Well, at least not often enough.
It just made me so mad because there's the head hitting or the shoulder hitting the head. No, it didn't. And you can clearly see while he's saying, there it is. No.
Yeah, I was sitting there wondering, does he know where the shoulder stops? Like, what is this? So dumb.
Oh, per company man. Oh, company
before we
man.
Do the league, shout out to Cairo, not Carlos, Cairo Santos for crushing that 55 yarder. That could have been good for 60. And I'm going to knock on wood. All right. There. Don't anybody get mad at me. All right.
There you go. NFC Special Teams Player of the Week, Cairo Santos. He's
playing much better than I expected. So, anyway, okay. Yep. So, league-wide, there's all kinds of stuff we could do. But in the interest of time, do you just want to do Tampa Bay-Green Bay game? And maybe the Rams game, since they're the common opponent, of course. Coming up.
And I got some thoughts about how the Bears are respected or not.
Well, I figured that would lead us into the Rams prediction.
Gotcha.
So that Packers game was Bucks, actually Packers. Okay. So I love that the Bears won, but as far as just enjoying it, other than the first few minutes, that Packers game was thoroughly enjoyable, wasn't it?
Yes.
He did his little celebration. My friend sent me the Key and Peele video so I could get it. I'm like, oh, that's hilarious, and then just got destroyed the rest of the game.
That pick six kind of threw him off his game.
It did. He was bad the rest of the way. He almost threw two pick sixes.
We should
do the Mitch Trubisky meme. We can do some more Reddit stuff. The one I sent you where Trubisky is greater than Rodgers.
Oh,
because kids, stats are misleading because people choose which stats to display.
Yeah, I got it in front of you.
One I sent. All right, so most TDs in one game, they're tied at six. Their QBR in 2018, Mitch was a 71, Rodgers was a 58. Has lost to the Bears. Okay, Mitch, Rodgers said has lost to the Bears.
Wow.
Lost to Tom Brady in 2020. Mitch, no. Rodgers, yes. I love this. This is my second favorite one. Got benched for Tim Boyle. career pick sixes. I didn't even realize this. Mitch, none. Aaron Rodgers, now three.
Wow. I would have guessed at least one for Mitch.
I think he's a great athlete, so he makes the tackle. Draft number, Mitch 2, Rodgers 24.
Undeniable.
I'm going to save my favorite for last because it's ridiculous. Thrown 2 interceptions in 3 attempts, which Rodgers just did, and Mitch has never done. Is currently first in the NFC North. And then the best one, has a hot girlfriend. Mitch, yes. Rodgers, no. There it is, my friend.
There are a few things that we could comment on that one, but probably better
but
not.
In all seriousness, so, everyone's dumping on the Bears. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of teams that look very questionable that have good records because their strength of schedule has not been that great. And where are the Packers actually if the Saints aren't great? Because that's their signature win.
I've got some numbers for you. Would you like to hear them?
Yes, I have some as well.
Okay. The Packers are 4-1, and their wins are against the Vikings, the Lions, the Saints, and the Falcons. Those four teams have combined for 7 wins. Okay?
Ouch.
Now the Bears. Yeah, the Bears, 5-1. Their wins are against the Lions, the Falcons, the Giants, the Panthers, and the Bucks. A total of 11 wins. Now, granted, there's one more game in there. I understand that. But 11 wins compared to 7? That's, you know, that shouldn't tell you or give you the idea that, oh, the Packers are so much better than the Bears are. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. My stat's pretty similar. It's called strength of wins, like strength of schedule, but for wins. In the conference, the Bears are 3rd. Green Bay's like 6 or 7.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Because in the last 2 weeks, the Bears have beaten 2 good teams. Whereas early on, theirs was really low, but now it's better. So, I mean, these kind of stats have a lot of volatility. They change pretty quickly. But the point is, what you could say about the Bears after Lions, Giants, Falcons doesn't apply nearly as well, at least about the defense, now that you add Buccaneers and Panthers to the wins. Yep. Although I will say the Colts loss kind of looks worse each week as they get to be one of those confusing teams in the middle now. Barely beat the Bengals. Uh-huh. But the Bears are getting no respect. And so now I've put that on the tee for you. I know you wanted to finish the thought there from earlier.
Well, the NFL put out their power rankings, and they don't have the 5-1 Bears in the top 10. Not even in the top 10.
Even though they're the 2 seed in the NFC, technically.
What the heck? Now, you know, conspiracy theory, that would fit in with the whole trying to promote offense.
It does. I really think it's true. I don't even think it's conspiracy theory. I think it's a perception problem in the league that winning pretty is better than winning ugly, which I guess is true. But if my team wins by 3 points and scores 37 but gives up 34, the power rankings people will be like, oh, look at that juggernaut offense. But by winning by 3 points with the defense, they think, yeah, bump them down. Like, that's almost undeniable. No one knows what to do with a good defense. They just dismiss the team.
And how many did the Bucks score against the Packers? 38?
They scored against the Bears, my friend.
Exactly twice. Exactly double. Yes.
No, the only defenses on par with the Bears right now are basically Pittsburgh, which is a terrific defense, and Baltimore, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're tops in a lot of categories, so fine. Yeah. To have them be respected. I know they have way better offenses. So, yes, it's fair to say on some level the Bears' offense has to show more to be in a top 5 kind of scenario or for people to be like 5-1 and we're not doubting it. But to just put them in the middle of the pack when the defense is this good, I think it's pretty ignorant of the stats we've been rattling off, frankly. I wonder how many of these guys know what the stuff we just were talking about with the red zone and the comparisons to 2018. This team's defense is just as good, and we all know what 2018's defense did for the franchise.
Yeah. So. Yeah, and a lot of it, too, is probably just looking at the fantasy football.
Yeah.
numbers. Perhaps. Because
the Bears are not worth following on that, so they get less attention.
No! Exactly.
So,
except the last couple of years, my first pick in fantasy is always the Bears defense, the
first,
my friend.
Wow, of course.
First pick.
That
I don't want Lamar Jackson.
That's both sad and not at all disappointing.
Well, would it surprise you that I'm dead last in both of my
No, did you also pick Jimmy Graham as your tight end in the second round?
I did in one of them. No, not second. That's my problem. I pick because I have a rule. I don't pick any Packers.
You post already.
And then I don't pick anyone from the
– Never get into gambling.
From the NFC North. So, like, and I know the Packers are in the NFC North, but that's its own separate rule.
Okay, double rule.
No Packers, and then no one from the NFC North.
That does limit you a bit.
So, I very rarely win fantasy football.
I can't imagine why. So, Rams game.
Rams game. Hey, can I give you some Rams numbers, too,
yes,
here?
Yes, please do.
The 4-2 Rams.
I know where this is going.
That the league believes in. Do you know who their four wins are?
Yes, the NFC East. Mighty, mighty NFC East.
That has won 5 games this year. Just as many as the Bears. The NFC East has won 5 games. And that's who all the Rams, their wins are against. That's it.
Yep.
That's it.
They're hard to figure out. This game is hard to figure out. I've wrestled with trying to figure out what I'll pick whenever we do this, you know, like all week. But the Rams are, I think, probably overrated. The Bears are probably not getting enough love, and I could still see the Rams winning because of their D-line versus our O-line, right? Like, that's such a problematic matchup.
Maybe.
But this idea that the Rams are the juggernaut and the Bears are the pretender, and the line opening at, like, 6, and now it's, like, 5.5 or whatever, which I don't care about gambling, but it tells you what where the money's going and what Vegas thinks and all that other stuff. I'm just like...
Mm-hmm.
The idea that the Rams blow us out is hard to believe.
Mm-hmm. I don't see it.
They have only lost to teams outside the NFC East that they've played. They have only beat the NFC East. Like, that also means they can't beat anyone else through this many games, just based on what they've actually had on their schedule.
They did lose to the Bills.
They came back, but it was kind of a weird game. And they got beat by a banged-up Niners team.
A very mediocre Niners team.
Like, I left the Panthers game thinking, oh boy, I don't think we can beat the Rams because the O-line is so bad. And then the Rams get beat by the Niners. I'm like, well, maybe the rest of the team can cover for them. You know, and now I'm like, I don't even know anymore. I know they still have Jared Goff, who's still very limited. And when he has time, he can be very accurate. And the wheels can fall off very quickly. And he's just faster versus the Bears the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying.
Conversation, which I don't quite understand. Mm-hmm. Who's dangerous on that offense?
They're
nice Cooper players. Cup? I'd love to have on the Bears in the receiving corps. Woods too.
Yeah.
Darrell Henderson's a pretty good back, but there's no like, holy cow, what are we gonna do when we face him? For example, the Titans game is like, oh my gosh, this is like the last worst matchup for the Bears with that running back and a really physical defense, right? Rams, it's like, man, this is actually winnable, but doesn't seem like 6-1 is what this team should be, considering that they're so heavily all D-O-O. But that game is not – the Titans game is like, I don't think they can win this if everyone's healthy on the Titans. And
Rams, yeah, probably. I wouldn't pick them now. No. Well, do you want to do a pick then? You want
to
do a prediction?
Yeah, we have to. We've got to man up.
All right, I'm gonna go Bears 23, Rams 17.
Okay, I will pick the Bears because
Bears.
I'm a Bears fan and dumb
result.
That's right. And because I hate the Rams' hideous uniforms with the weird double colored number, their uniforms are awful. I refuse to give them any credit. And because Jared Goff has to prove it against the Bears. And that's part of the story, dang it. I am terrified of Aaron Donald.
Yes, as
I
you should
think
be.
The Bears D could turn this into a 2018 Bears-Rams game. I'm going to make it ugly and say the Bears win 16-10. and then it's going to be tough to pick them the next 2 weeks.
Yeah.
The Rams would only beat the NFC East. I'm not going to lie. That totally changed my tune.
My 23-17 pick may require a defensive touchdown.
I got a defensive touchdown. I've got Patterson taking it to the house and a safety at my 16.
That's right. That's right.
It's the Cardinals game. The Bears are who we thought they were. Hey,
Monday night. Yep, that's right. And the Bears actually have a decent Monday night record since 2010. True. I read 12. Oh, that's another
thing. Foles is great against the Rams. Burning his former team.
Interesting.
Which I don't know what that means. It's not like any of these players are the same, really. Although maybe did he have to beat the Rams in the Super Bowl run?
I don't think so. Though? I think the Rams were on the way up, but not quite there yet. Right. But I could be wrong.
I think he played him when he was an Eagle at some point, though. So maybe some of the players would be the same there. But, you know, I don't know enough about the rest of the Rams team to have strong thoughts otherwise. You're going to have to avoid Donald. And, you know, Ramsey will probably do a good enough job on Robinson that someone else will have to step up. But I think this defense has the chance to bottle up their offense because it's just not that explosive anymore. And, I'm really counting on that. That whole they haven't beat anybody thing being the case, but they are a tough game. It's a tough matchup. It's certainly a step up from the first three opponents the Bears faced and probably a step up from Carolina in terms of total talent, but step down from Tampa, and the Bears managed to beat Tampa. And people are like, but they're on the road. Yeah, but I mean, it's a crowd. Like, they got to get used to traveling. These guys have been traveling for a decade or more between college and pro. Like, I just don't think that's that big of a deal when there's no crowd noise. So I'll take the Bears to win ugly and credit.
Bears. All right, one last thing I want to run by you here. Cole Kmet. Do you think we'll finally see him more?
I hope so. I'm really tired of the scores joke. I'm not tired of the joke. I'm tired of Incompletrius Harris, which kudos to whichever. They were like,
man.
It's either drop Metrius or Incompletrius. I'm like, are you kidding? Incompletrius all the way.
That is quite a spinning of a wordsmith.
Like, I hope they bench him finally. Can I ask you something else? Bears meta here. Big Bears. Why do they always fall in love, no matter who the coach is, with some guy who's just totally awful at the whole gig? Why is there always someone please, why is he on the field? You know, it's Chris Conte, it's David, Deion's
Kellen. That's what I'm getting from Harris.
Demetrius Harris. Of course, now I just rattled off three of them being tight ends, but please, for the love.
That's what Harris is.
What's he good at?
Incompleting.
Yes.
But he gives me Kellen Davis flash.
Oh, yeah.
But that was a great catch by Kmet and a perfect throw by Fultz.
It's like his fourth reader. Ridiculous, too.
Yeah, let's see more of that. Yeah.
That gets at one other point. Is you just keep thinking of things. Like I said, there's a lot. The Bears are way
too. I'm glad I don't pay you by the hour.
All the former players that do the Twitter and YouTube videos and stuff talk about, the Bears are this formation. Everybody knows what's coming. Well, yeah. That's why we need to play Kmet more, because he can actually block and catch, so that less predictable if he's in the game. But that's why we drafted him. But Titans have a hard time as rookies, so maybe it's finally time that he's learning the playbook and all. I don't know. We got to see more of him because Harris is terrible. And Jimmy Graham is only a red zone threat. Like, let's be honest. He's a nice job.
Right.
But he doesn't block anybody. He doesn't beat anybody and go deep. You know, and he's a red zone big guy, which they did need.
Mm-hmm.
But we need more Kmet.
Absolutely. I need more Cole Kmet in my life.
That's right.
All right, my friend. Thanks for – you going to watch the game tonight, the Giants-Eagles?
I will have it on the background. It's such a bad matchup that I don't know how much attention I'll pay.
This is who's going to come in second place to the 6-10 Cowboys.
After they acquire Ryan Fitzpatrick. By the way, sign me up for Fitzmagic on the Cowboys. That would just be wildly entertaining.
Oh, I enjoy that Cowboy milk.
Yeah, everything about it.
We'll talk maybe so
bad for Dak's horrific injury. But the rest of it's hysterical. They bench.
Yep.
It's like They're great offensive talent, and they bench him. Oh, man. Mike, nice. Shame he's not still coaching the Packers.
I know.
They'll take him messing up the Cowboys as a second option.
Consolation prize.
Yep, well said. All right, my friend.
All right, my friend. Take care. Yep, you too. Always great to have Mark on. Appreciate your thoughts and insight. And the laughs, my friend. We have a good time. All right. Well, thanks for listening to this episode of the Meatball Composer. The next episode is episode 70. Woo. It doesn't really mean anything, but, 70, it sounds like a lot, right? Doesn't it? Yeah. Okay. But also by next week, I can't talk. Also, by next week's episode, we should have a new World Series champion, and I'm hoping it will be the Tampa Rays. Not really pro Rays for any reason, just anti-Dodgers. Just simple as that. I've enjoyed the meme, as my kids would call it. I enjoy the meme of the Dodgers having been so good the last 5 years and no rings to show for it. And that would just be nice if that continued. So, anyway, I hope you all have a great week. Thanks again for listening. Please feel free to share the episode with anyone you think might like it. And thanks for subscribing. If you do, you can find me on Twitter at MeatballComp34. Love to interact with any thoughts or ideas you may have or suggestions. Thanks again for listening. Take care. Be safe. Bear down.
You've been meatballed.
You suck, Chris.